Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Tyke.
And I'm Bonnie North. Over the past few days, we've examined the issues surrounding the addiction crisis in Wisconsin and the many people that it affects beyond those addicted.
The Medical Society of Milwaukee and the Milwaukee County Behavioral Health Division have teamed up to present an evening with Patrick Kennedy tonight to bring a well-known voice to put the issue in perspective. The Kennedy family has a history of dealing with both mental health and substance abuse challenges which Kennedy will address to make the point that addiction knows no demographic boundaries.
Dr. Michael McNett is a pain management physician and the leader of the Comprehensive Pain Program Team at Aurora Healthcare. Kathy Schmitz is executive director of the Medical Society of Milwaukee. They spoke with Audrey Nowakowski about why they believe the opioid addiction crisis is a public health issue and why it's about more than just the people addicted.
Opioids have a unique quality in that they stimulate the part of the brain that makes you want to do something over again. And some people have a very high susceptibility to this. Other people are very resistant to it. But if you give it to enough people, you're going to get a substantial subgroup that is going to develop this need to have more and more and more. And it just starts feeding on itself. And eventually they get out of control. And that's where we have traditionally used the term addiction or now use opioid use disorder.
And how has this impacted Milwaukee?
It's impacted Milwaukee tremendously. If you just look at the numbers alone, last year alone, there were more than 250 drug-related deaths in Milwaukee. We just recently learned that over the Labor Day holiday, approximately 12 people died from overdose-related deaths in a 72-hour period. And even today, we've learned even more that just in the last 7 weeks alone, there's been 70 people who have died from overdose-related issues.
So really, I suppose we'll see if Wisconsin follows the lead, but many states have declared these issues as state of emergencies and are trying to really be proactive about it because it's so widespread. What about this issue reaches across all borders, no matter where you're from, how much you make, your family situation, your life, your job, etc.?
You know, it really does, Audrey. It's now being termed a national epidemic, and we are really on the brink of a public health crisis, not only here in Wisconsin, but across this country. Therefore, the reason we are bringing in Patrick Kennedy to Milwaukee, this affects all walks of life, and his family is no exception. When you read his book, A Common Struggle, that he published in 2015, it's really heartbreaking in terms of what his family has gone through with his mother's alcoholism, his father's alcoholism, his parents' divorce. His cousin David died from an overdose. His uncle John and Bobby's assassinations, clearly, that we all know about. And then his Aunt Rose, who suffered from mental illness and was actually committed here at St. Coletta's here in Wisconsin. And that was not well known either for many years. So in his book, A Common Struggle, Kennedy really breaks what he says is the Kennedy Code of Silence, revealing his family addictions and his own struggles with alcohol and mental illness. And, you know, he's very courageous to talk about this publicly. If you have heart disease, diabetes, people sympathize and have no problem talking about it. If you have an addiction or mental illness, it's not considered okay to talk about, you know, even yet today. So his whole goal is to help eliminate the stigma around these issues. And it's much more common than we realize or admit. We all know someone, whether someone in our family, a neighbor, a relative, a colleague at work, who is today going through either addiction or mental illness.
One issue that I think is important is that addiction is a combination of propensity and exposure. And exposure occurs throughout our entire culture. But in fact, there have been some studies that have shown that Caucasians are prescribed more opioids than non-Caucasians in the United States. They've actually been exposed more. And the people selling heroin tend to sell to Caucasians, preferably. Now, is that racism? It's not for me to judge, but it seems like it. The issue, though, is that now Caucasians are seeing a decrease in their life expectancy as a result of this, and the other non-Caucasian races are not. And so it's actually people tend to think of heroin as coming from the 70s, it was really limited to inner cities. Now it is disproportionately not in the inner cities. And so it really is drawing a lot of attention from people who had previously thought they were safe from it.
Well, and to break down that thought of it's not in the suburbs, it's not in the well-to-do areas. And Kathy, as you mentioned, the Kennedy Code of Silence, the stigma that surrounds addiction and abuse of substances is one that keeps people from seeking help or even just disclosing to their close family or friends that they need help. So what can we do to make people in a better position to be more comfortable to address this issue? Because it's in the news so much, but all that we hear about are the deaths, not a call to action. So what are some things that either Milwaukee's doing or that you two in your opinions think should be put in place?
I think the first thing we need to do is overcome shame. This isn't something people should be ashamed of. It is a disease, and it's caused by exposure to a toxin, basically, for the people who have this problem. And it's not something that they should feel like they're immoral or unethical. That plays an extremely low role in development of addiction. There are a lot of factors. Much of it is genetic. It's maybe 60% is genetic. And so, you know, we aren't ashamed of our genes for other things. We shouldn't be ashamed of them for this. And we need to be much more accepting of the legitimacy of the problem, the fact that the people who suffer from it are suffering and are not bad people, and provide them incentives to go get the kind of treatment that they really need.
And it's really, it's having that critical conversation in the community. It's helping to educate physicians on the changes in prescribing habits. It's educating physicians to understand how to talk with patients. It's educating patients and the public about how to have that conversation with their physician that maybe I don't need all of these prescriptions any longer. I have really never seen anything like it in this community in all of my time living here. It's been unprecedented in terms of the collaboration that's going on in this community. It really started back in about 2 years ago when Alderman Mike Murphy held a heroin summit at Marquette University. And since then, there's been a real collaborative effort to bring everyone together, county, government, civic, businesses, working with the DEA, organizations like Community Advocates, and working both with the city and the state, and having our physicians of the medical society out there as those critical thought leaders. They're being sought out as experts, as Dr. McNett is, to talk about addiction, talk about prescription drug abuse, and what we can all do together to make that change. We were key in terms of serving as medical experts with the Attorney General's Dose of Reality campaign. And that campaign was one of the ones in the state that really kicked off the conversation as well. And I know that there's more to come on that, but there are so many tremendous task forces going on with the Wisconsin Medical Society and our work with Representative Nygren, and having our physicians at the table, such as Dr. McNett, who's helping to write a lot of the prescribing guidelines and the CME, as well as Dr. Tim Westlake, who is on the medical examining board. So our physicians, both locally at the Medical Society of Milwaukee and the Wisconsin Medical Society, are really at the forefront working with these legislators to make a difference so that we can change policy, helps save lives, and strengthen communities.
Dr. McNett, in your opinion, once these legislations are passed, once the people higher up are sending the message down the grapevine, what kind of efforts need to be made with boots on the ground, so to speak? What should doctors be doing? What kind of conversation should they be having with their patients? And what should we as potential patients or as people, community members, be doing to kind of stifle this from the start so that it doesn't escalate to the point it's gotten to today?
Doctors need to learn the warning signs. They need to monitor their patients for evidence that they're developing problems with their opioids. They need to be cautious about how they prescribe them. And when patients show evidence of problems, they need to ensure that they get the kind of treatment that is necessary, whether they give it themselves or refer them to a center for it. I think we also need people looking for evidence of problems in their families. People need to learn what the signs of addiction are. And if they have a friend, relative, loved one who demonstrates problems, encourage them to get the help they need.
So what kind of signs of addiction would you say are a good guideline to go off of?
Well, probably the most effective one is suddenly all the money around starts disappearing. Drug addiction is an expensive habit, and patients that have this problem really do become just sort of money sponges. But also changes in personality, changes in hygiene, changes in attitudes, long periods where they're unaccounted for, being drowsy and being hard to wake up when you wouldn't expect them to be. And sometimes, you know, looking for track marks on the arms, suddenly tattoos develop where, you know, the patient never been interested in tattoos before. Really, all of these things are a sign of a problem, and it's a good idea